Welcome, as always, to a very special edition of the Fastest 40 Minutes in Podcasting. I am Bill, as always, along with Ross, as always.
Howdy.
So when I got up this morning, I thought the most unique thing that was going to happen to me today was taking our 10-year-old cats to get, you know, their haven't been to a vet in 9 years checkup, and watching them have, you know, watching my big lovable Stan get, you know, shots in his butt. But instead, possibly the most unique thing that happened today was out journalisming KOMU for once.
I'm staying out of this. Congrats to you, but I will respectfully decline comment.
It's just been a unique day is all. Obviously I like KOMU because I was watching it this morning when the ticker did what it did this morning. I guess we need a little background. Not that a single person listening to this doesn't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But just as a quick 30-second rundown, yesterday afternoon, I guess, or morning or whatever, on the Scott Van Pelt show, Bruce Feldman and Pat Forty and Van Pelt and whoever his assistant is, co-host, whatever you want to call it.
Ryan Priscilla.
Oh, that's him? Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Had a little little conference expansion roundtable, and they were going through different scenarios. And I guess somebody read an email. Van Pelt read an email asking why Missouri wasn't getting mentioned very much, and it was Van Pelt, correct, who said, "My sources with the a Pac-10 athletic director says that he thinks Mizzou is as good as a done deal."
It was Van Pelt quoting Feldman quoting a source.
Oh, there you go. And
not even quoting a source, paraphrasing the source.
So, I mean, that's, you know, it is interesting. And for those of us who actually want to go to the Big Ten, it was reassuring. But what it wasn't was news.
And what it wasn't was definitive.
Correct.
Which the phrase "done deal" in quotation marks implies.
Right. And so I'm watching KOMU this morning, and I got my Eric Aldrich weather fix. and I'm writing away at whatever it is that I'm writing away at this morning. And I glance up and I just see "done deal" or "to Big Ten done deal." I'm thinking, what the hell? So I rewind, and sure enough, it says sources tell ESPN that MU to the Big Ten is a done deal.
At which point you Apple in and go to ESPN.com, I presume?
Correct. And there was nothing saying that. And it turned out that they were linking to, ironically, what I had linked to in my in the Mizzou links this morning, or at least sort of affiliated with that Scott Van Pelt link. And they were literally saying sources tell ESPN because an athletic director told Feldman, told Van Pelt, that he thinks they're a done deal. That is just not news. And I realized, you know, I assume that, you know, I know a lot of the people at KOMU. I worked there for 2 years. They probably don't remember me. It's been a while. But, you know, I got to work a little bit with Stacey Wolf. Well, I know he's probably less than pleased with how this all went. But, I mean, I realize right now that we are in a situation where everybody is assuming there will be an announcement one day that the Big Ten has invited Missouri and Missouri has accepted. You know, it might not happen. They could still just go with Notre Dame or just go with East Coast teams. But I think we seem to be both, you know, Missouri press affiliates or whatever, and Pittsburgh and probably Rutgers and everybody else, they're all kind of on heightened attention for anything that would allow them to break the story.
And here's the thing, and it's our story did get picked up by the untouchable and most awesome and reason to join the Big Ten, Blackheart Gold Pants. And someone said the following, which I think was our entire argument in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And he said, "Here's how we'll know that the Big Ten has reached a decision. And I'd like to stress that I am 100% convinced they will expand." And he says, "One Sunday, maybe Saturday next spring, Delaney will announce a press conference in Chicago on Monday. Anything else out of anyone else is a staged leak."
Yeah.
I don't know if it's staged, but if you want to know when it's going to happen, I tell you what, how about you wait for Delaney to say something? How about you wait for Mike Alden to say something?
Well, and since we're referencing that Blackheart Gold Pants thing, as Adam said in the post about the situation, if ESPN is sitting on that, they're going to blare it on the front page of ESPN.com. They're, you know, ESPN News, probably any of the 17 hours of SportsCenter, it's going to be the top story. It's going to be a huge deal. It's not going to be planted in the middle of a podcast. And as was mentioned on our site, you know, it's not going to be planted in the middle of a podcast and then cut out for the 20-minute section that was linked, you know, by ESPN.com the next day.
And Blackheart Gold Pants says that, you know, we're back where we started. Said, you know, the media's track record on breaking any new information on Big Ten expansion is roughly 0-423.
Right.
And he said there's three sources of information to trust when it comes to the Big Ten's plans. One, the conference. Two, an official statement from the athletic department. Or three, just kidding, there's no number three.
I think, you know, in this Pac-10 athletic director, whoever he may be, that Feldman talked to, I'm pretty sure, you know, he's probably talked to other athletic directors, might have 1% of a good feel for who they're thinking about. And at a very basic level, because I want Missouri to be included in the conference expansion, because the alternative is frightening, you know, that was good news to me. And then I stopped thinking about it, because a week ago, less than a week ago, Jim Delaney said, we're taking our time on this. We're not making any decisions anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, I mean, even for people that don't really favor the Big Ten move, I think a lot of people understand that at this point, it's probably inevitable, especially, you know, like Big Ten offers, they're gone. I mean, we know that much.
Yeah.
Even though it is inevitable though, and even though it may be unofficially a done deal, the context of how it was presented was just infuriating.
Well, it was just not, it's just not news, and it's not, it's just bad journalism. And, you know, honestly, you know, you're thinking about the people who populate a good percent of the workforce at KOMU. You know, these are the best journalism students in the world, and they're producing, you know, they're part of the best journalism school in the world, but they're students. And, you know, no offense to the student I'm speaking with right now, but I made mistakes every single day when I was a student, and I make mistakes now. And
well, the thing was, it's been brought up, and it's something that our buddy Greg said, that it's a learning institution. And
correct.
If nothing else, this is a learning experience. But the issue for us has been, and you and I, like, we love KOMU. We really do. It's one of the first points of pride I have in this university and in this J school. But the thing is, we need to see that, I want to know that they at least see the concern that we have, that it may have been presented in an unfair context. I know that privately there's been that concern, but I've yet to see anything public that shows not necessarily remorse, but at least an understanding of the concern that's gone around, especially from us.
Well, I guess the test will be tomorrow morning when Lauren Whitney has to go back and read the news.
And they'll make a retraction at 4:05 in the morning.
Well, if they wait as long as about 5:45, I'll see it. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But, I mean, yeah, that is kind of the issue. Like, you know, I don't care that a mistake was made. It's kind of inevitable that mistakes are made. But, yeah, it's a teaching moment.
And just show that something was learned, at least. I mean, that's the thing. And we've said all day, just at least acknowledge it. Just don't try to hide behind that link constantly, because although technically you may have been right, if you were technically right, you framed it wrong.
Right. It was sources tell sources who tell sources who tell sources. And that's just not what you need to be told about in the morning. And the script they did this morning did say, you know, now there hasn't been ESPN.com or, you know, ESPN confirmation. It's just, you know, this is all it is. But that wasn't news. So anyway.
And only one person in the city bothered to email Bruce Feldman. You want to take a guess on who that was?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Connolly, everyone.
That's right. So anyway, as I deflect attention towards myself, we're going
to... KOMU, we love you. We're not...
That's right. I'll be watching again tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Because it's what I do. So what I wanted to talk about, we initially had talked about having a podcast tonight, not to, you know, castigate KOMU by any means, but, and not to debate whether Missouri should or will join the Big Ten. If they're asked, they are gone.
We're supposed to be beating that topic to death.
Right. I mean, there's nothing more to say about it. If they decide to go east, we don't get invited, and, you know, who the hell knows what happens next. If they decide to go west, we are probably invited, and we accept, and we're gone. But what I wanted to talk about is just something that is only now being kind of discussed and bandied about, is what does happen? You know, what is the domino effect here? We've read a lot of people posting, you know, their opinions on how super conferences should look and everything else, and 16 teams and 24 teams and everything else. But it's not, none of it's really realistic because, well, because it doesn't take into account the order that things are going to happen. And
yeah.
What appears to happen is unless Notre Dame gets peer pressured into accepting a Big Ten invite, and that is all that they do, and I'm still not convinced that would be their only move at this point, but it would certainly solidify their championship game and everything else. You know, if Notre Dame accepts and nothing else happens, then, you know, the story's kind of over, other than seeing who the Pac-10 offers.
I will say this, 14 teams or 16 teams might be on the table, but I think you have unfairly minimized the chance that that could be leverage against Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like...
I think if Notre Dame decides, yeah, we'll be that 12th team, I think everything's moot. I really do.
I think it's most likely moot, but I still think there's a possibility they still look into 14 or 16 just because, you know, once the idea gets floated out there, you start to take it a lot more seriously, and they might continue to look, since that won't really expand their footprint. It would just give them the championship game and really solidify the Midwest and everything else. I wonder if they would still maybe look at two more teams or four more teams. The odds, you know, it's at least a 50% chance that they would stop at Notre Dame, but I'm not sure it's a complete given.
Yeah.
But that's not a fun scenario to talk about because... You know,
that's no fun.
Yeah, exactly. If it's over, then it's over, and you know, the end. This podcast done.
Big 12.
That's right. What I'm most curious about moving forward is what does happen if the Big Ten adds three teams or adds five teams. You know, we it's kind of abstract right now. You know, would the ACC and Big East combine? You know, would the Big 12 just try to replace Missouri and Nebraska? Would there be a gigantic bidding war between the Pac-10 and SEC for Texas and Texas A&M? And that's kind of what I wanted to discuss today. So what I thought we could do here, and maybe we'll lay out these scenarios in print in this post when we're done with it. But what I wanted to think about, it was step by step here. If this happens, then what happens next? And the first scenario I wanted to discuss as I pull up my Excel sheet so I can keep track and, you know, we don't end up with, you know, Texas going to three different conferences or something.
You jerk, I was looking around for one.
Ha. So let's say the Big Ten does what people, at this point, I think what a lot of people are almost assuming is 16 teams. Certainly, I really don't know how realistic it is, but it's certainly the most fun to think about right now.
This is all hypothetical. We realize that much. Are we gonna try to create four 16-team super conferences?
No, I don't think it'll work that way. It might work that way, but it's not like Division I would become 64 teams. There would still be other...
is our primary goal.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think that's what we'll look at is, you know, how did the other 16 team leagues form at that point?
All right. So we're looking at the Big 16, the Big 10.
Right.
Big 16.
The Big 10.
16 EC, and then the Pac 16.
Correct.
And then.
Well, we'll let it play out here. So let's start with the Big 10, which I'm still going to call the Big 10. I really do hope to see one day a logo that still has Big 10 written out, and instead of the two hidden ones, there's a one and there's a six. I just want to see how they do that. So they add five teams. The most rumored scenario for a five-team expansion is Missouri and Nebraska from the West. Pittsburgh, Rutgers, and either Syracuse or Connecticut from the East. Honestly, I don't know which one's more likely between Connecticut or Syracuse, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and just say, I don't know.
I guess Syracuse.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, like, I think, you know, thinking about basketball, you know, Big East basketball, that is Syracuse, but it is UConn too, so... At that point, it really doesn't matter. So we'll say Syracuse.
I literally just feel like the two words New York will blind people.
Yeah, and it...
For no other reason whatsoever.
And that was the most interesting part to me in the podcast, as we discussed earlier this morning in the Van Pelt and Feldman and 40 podcast, was we continue to overestimate the impact of the New York market. You know, with or without Rutgers, I think that... You know, the Big Ten Network will be on television sets in New York. Seth's always, you know, he's from the East Coast. He's always talking about how Penn, you know, he grew up in Connecticut, a Penn State fan.
Yeah.
And Penn State probably has as big a footprint in the in the New York area, as does Rutgers or UConn or Syracuse, because technically they're in the state of New York, even though they could not possibly be further away from New York City.
Well, and God bless Ryan Russillo for making that point. It's just, I mean, I see both sides of the argument. Like, the Northeast, it's not college football. I mean, we understand that. I presume they understand it. I mean, I say there's smarter people than me running conferences. I hope there's smarter people than me running conferences.
Jim Delaney sure thinks he's smarter than you.
Well, that comes with the Big Ten, does it not?
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, and I feel like advertisers are, I don't want to say dumb enough, but blinded enough by numbers and by the name New York City that they might fall for it. So,
I do think if they go to 16, then it's almost absolutely certain they do add Rutgers just in case, because with 16 teams, they can take a chance.
Got to wrap up that Bon Jovi market.
That's right. But so, all right, so we've got a 16-team Big Ten with the five additions: Missouri, Nebraska, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and Rutgers. The Pac-10 and SEC are up at that point. The SEC has basically, you know, dropped the threat. Yeah, you expand, we'll mess you up.
Yeah.
We're going to win this. And but at the same time, I'm curious, because obviously Texas is the big fish out there.
And I will stand firm that Texas does not go SEC.
Well, when a while back, when Blackheart Goldpants, the 19th reference to them today, when they had a podcast, they invited me on, they invited Peter on, and Peter pretty much said he thinks it's Pac-10. He really thinks, you know, the academic side of things makes a lot more sense for the Pac-10. And
I'll say this, the only people that only see Texas as an athletic behemoth are the people that don't deal with Longhorns on a daily basis or grew up around Longhorns. And and I mean that both positively and negatively, because while it is frustrating to deal with, that's a damn fine academic institution. And the type of people that run that institution, the type of people that write some fat ass checks to that institution, are not going to be game for heading to the SEC, especially those that are writing it based on academic prestige at Texas.
So I think we're kind of on the same page that, you know, Texas, and therefore Texas A&M,
yep,
are as or more likely to end up at the Pac-10, the Pac-16,
yep,
as they are to the SEC.
Yep.
I think that presents a really interesting scenario because, okay, so I'm going to take my little spreadsheet. I'm going to move Texas and A&M over.
Yep.
What
out of the Pac-12?
That's right. What happens with the Pac-10 then? Because, you know, to get to 16, there aren't four more wonderful options without getting into, like, the freaking East Coast, Eastern time zone. And so do you
go... the thing is they have to start raiding the Mountain West.
Right. Well, I mean...
They want to do that?
And Colorado, yeah. I mean, but even if you add Colorado... Really, I mean, the only way you get to 16 with the Pac-10 is adding BYU and Utah. You know, they like the pairs. And I do think BYU, I think we're underestimating the amount of money involved with, you know, with the Mormons at BYU.
Oh, yeah, I hear the argument about BYU. It's more the Utah-Boise argument that confuses me a little bit.
I think, yes, football matters most here, but I see Utah over Boise.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, they like the whole, you know, pairs and rivalries kind of thing. I think
yeah,
if they take BYU,
yeah,
that makes them much, much more likely to take Utah than it does Boise.
Which, and the funny thing is, if they're concerned about pairs and rivalries and that they pretty much have everyone there paired up with a rival,
mm-hmm,
you're going to bring in Colorado?
Yeah, that was my next question. So that's everybody's rumor is Colorado, even though their athletic department is a disaster right now. I don't know what they bring to the table at all.
Yeah.
No offense to our friends at Rafferty Report.
Who are awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, it is temporary. You know, 20 years ago, they were winning national titles in football with help from, you know, an extra down. But anyway. but, you know, what do they bring to the table that is worth not only bringing them in, but bringing them in a rival, being either Colorado State or, you know, Wyoming or Boise? And again, the problem with Boise is just that they bring football to the table, and that's it. And you know, we hear the stories about how Stanford was very, very virulent when the Pac-10 thought about expanding in the past or thinking about bringing in Texas or something. Stanford did not really like that.
If Stanford's concerned about Texas, what's that going to say about all the other options?
Right. And so, you know, do they stop at 12 because they got the big dog at Texas and A&M? Do they stop at 14 because they got BYU and Utah? Or do they actually suck it up and bring somebody like a Wyoming or a Colorado State or a TCU or Air Force?
Yikes.
I mean, this is, you know, I'm really, do they go to 16 just because it seems like everybody's going to go to 16?
Well, and it's funny because everybody knows that the Big 12, the ACC, and the Big East are all screwed in this scenario.
Right.
Funny thing is, how screwed is the Mountain West? Like, as soon as they're, like, right on track to get a BCS berth, everyone's like, no, and it just moves on.
Right, yeah, the Big 12 is either going to raid them or the Pac-10's going to raid them or both. So I am...
Enjoy raiding the whack.
So, I mean, with this scenario, what do? Do we add 16 for fun, or do we stop at 12 or 14?
You know, we can stop at 12 or 14 just for the sake of it. If we decide to go back and make 16, four 16-team super conferences, we can do it. But for now, we'll leave it that way. If we need to go back, we will.
Okay. Well, I've already added BYU and Utah, so, you know, screw it. We're going 14.
All right. BYU, Utah, and then the Lone Star Showdown are added.
Correct.
West.
And you have kind of actually an interesting scenario where you've got kind of a pack. You can either go Pac-10 North and South or Pac-10 East and West, with basically everybody east of California being the East.
Yeah.
So, you know, you finally get Utah and Texas as their natural geographic rivals.
And not to go into a long 5-minute diatribe, but in 30 seconds, what's your scheduling philosophy with a 14-team league?
The only way I see it working is either 14 or 16, you go to nine conference games.
Yeah, which obviously they don't have a problem with.
Well, right, yeah. Pac-10 definitely wouldn't have a problem with that. Big 10, Big 16, whatever we're calling it, I think would also have to go to nine games. For if no other reason, you know, the thing with the Big 10 especially is TV. And really with the Pac-10, it would be TV2 if they managed to get Texas in the mix. And if you still start the year with a full month of crap, it doesn't really help you that more good games are happening on Saturdays. You still need to spread it out. And I think you spread it out a lot easier if, you know, starting the very first week of the season, you have conference games going and you have nine potential interesting matchups for each team. And obviously with 14, that would mean your six interdivision rivals, and or intra-division rivals, I should say. And then three of the seven, which is kind of messy.
Yeah.
And so what I did when I was tinkering around with this the one time is that, you know, we can do the thing that the SEC does at that point. You have your six rivals. You've got a one marked rival in the other division, and then you rotate two of the other six every time.
Yeah, basically the Alabama-Tennessee corollary.
And I don't know exactly how... With Pac-10, it actually wouldn't be too bad. I mean, BYU, Utah, Texas, and A&M, who are you going to match them up with? Are you really going to have Texas and USC play every year?
Texas and Stanford, baby. Fear the Cardinal.
And then what? Utah and Washington State? There aren't a lot of... The Eastern division of the Pac-10 would be would be a lot less traditional, I guess. And then you'd end up with, like, Arizona playing... You could have, like, Arizona playing Cal or whatever every year, but
yeah.
There would be some very much not natural rivals in that mix.
By the way, this is semi-off-topic, but how come... I guess since we moved them over to the Pac-10, how come Pat Forty is the only person that's discussed the elephant in the room in Texas just being like, all right, screw y'all, we'll take care of ourselves?
Well, strangely enough, Brian Fremo and I from Outsiders, we were chatting the other day about the Outsiders Almanac, and we talked about that. He said, you know, he's a Notre Dame grad, he works for Notre Dame, and he said what he's really, his perfect world, you know, he's afraid of Notre Dame not getting included in expansion if they really do go to kind of a four conferences of 16, and what he really wishes would happen would be Texas going independent. That would give all the cover Notre Dame would need to stay independent. And it would really screw up a lot of things for everybody else.
Well, it screws nobody over worse than Texas A&M. But
right.
If you're Texas, why not? I mean, you've got the cash. You know you can get a sweet TV deal on your own. Plus, you can create your own network. I mean, it's worth a thought, at least. We can say that much.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they're thinking, you know... It would be an extremely arrogant move, but you know that's not going to really bother them.
Yes, arrogance always bothers the University of Texas.
Exactly. They'll really think twice about it. No, I mean, it is absolutely a possibility. I don't know if it happens, especially if they are kind of consolidating everything else. It might Well, no, they'd still say, you know, we're Texas and you need us more than we need you, so.
Yep.
But that again makes for a, you know, less fun scenario because I really don't know what happens then.
All hell breaks loose.
Right, we just,
anyway.
We had TCU and there's your Big 12, I guess.
I think the real question we need to ask, where does McNeese State go, especially before next season? So we can say that, you know, we're playing a big America opponent or whatever some huge conference is.
Yeah, though there's McNeese, there's Texas State, there's Stephen F. Austin. Really, we could just I think, you know, we could just have the top 64 being FCS and bump everybody back down and have McNeese State playing, you know, Boise.
Yeah, there you go, championship.
So, all right, so
we've got Pac 14 and our
Pac 14
set, right?
Oh, Pac 14. Yeah, and so then what does the SEC do? To me. And I mean, I realize that not everybody's probably going to think this. To me, the natural thing for the Pac-10 to do, or the SEC to do, excuse me, is I think what I mentioned earlier on Rock M. You know, at that point, you still need, if you're expanding, you need a big team. And if Texas is gone, there's no bigger team right now, especially than OU. And if you go for OU, of course, that brings along another Texas and Texas A&M situation where if you get OU, just for the sake of even numbers and everything else, you probably get Oklahoma State.
I can't imagine them going west. Like, Texas is a different story. I mean, Texas is the huge fish. We're not stupid. I can't imagine them going to Oklahoma, but I feel like the SEC, I don't want to say is arrogant enough, but feels like it can pull off a consolidation of power move by raiding the ACC and not having to make a quote-unquote big splash.
It depends on markets. It depends on, you know, what they are worried most about. Is it adding markets because everybody else is, or is it basically saying, screw you guys, we'll stay in our backyard here? Because obviously,
are you that concerned about TV sets in Tulsa?
Hey, it's parallel to Dallas. Oklahoma City is, they could get, you know, not that they aren't already because the SEC network is ESPN.
Yeah.
But, it does sound, you know, just for symmetry excuse me, I'm going hoarse all of a sudden. Just for symmetry's sake, you know, adding an OU-LSU rivalry on one side and then adding whoever it is on the other side, either Florida, obviously the most sense is either Georgia Tech and Clemson or Florida State and Miami. I think those are the three pairs in which they would try to grab two of them. And I lean towards Oklahoma, but I realize I'm kind of alone in that.
No, I understand the logic. I get the impression from the SEC administrators that they feel comfortable enough in their situation, comfortable enough in their brand, and comfortable enough in the TV deals they know they can get based on the strength of that brand, that they feel that they could take teams that are already considered to be Southeastern, integrate them, and call it a done deal.
And do you think OU tries to throw their weight around a little bit because they're panicking? I mean, I don't know what throwing their weight around really means exactly.
And see, I think OU is the big, not X factor, because obviously Texas is the biggest X factor, but Oklahoma is the biggest question mark, enigma. I mean, I don't know the perfect phrase to throw about in that it's going to be the most fun to watch, at least, that's for sure, because who has seen Oklahoma rumored anywhere?
Yeah, nobody. I mean, unless we're talking, unless the people who are relatively misguided people who think the SEC would try to go after Texas and Oklahoma instead of Texas and A&M, which,
yeah.
I mean, I think Texas and A&M are glued to each other. There's no way. Texas only gets away from them if they go independent.
I'll say this. If I'm putting down $5 right now, I think it's Florida State, Georgia Tech, Miami, and who have I left out? Clemson.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that. See, I'm benevolent.
I say that with the major reservation that I am curious to see what happens with Oklahoma.
I do think, I mean, with Miami and Florida State's overall reputation being down a little bit, I do think that opens the door for them to look beyond just the ACC. Obviously, Clemson feels like an SEC school already.
It is an SEC school.
And Georgia Tech was an SEC school, along with Clemson. Tulsa, Tulane, which is always fun.
Tulane.
There are two hilarious what ifs that I keep thinking about, and I don't know if I've shared either or both of those with you. Well, I know one I have, but the most fascinating what if I've ever read. I read this book about the 1959 college football season because that's what I do. And
we love you.
Yeah. And in it, it's just kind of really conversationally, like just almost a throwaway line about the season before, whatever it was, the Pac-8, I guess, or whatever that was called. I'm going blank. AAW, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was basically, you know, USC, UCLA, Cal, Stanford, Idaho. It was a really weird mix, but poor Idaho got left behind. But anyway, when that conference dissolved and they ended up creating the Pac-8, you know, the Pac-10 minus Arizona and Arizona State.
Right.
They said they came very close to creating a conference with USC, UCLA, Cal, and Stanford. Air Force, Army, Navy, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Penn State.
Wait, wasn't the original Penn somehow involved with that too?
I feel like
I saw the, what was AAWU, right?
I think so. And if I thought I could find that, if I thought it was amazing podcast listening to listen to me flip through a book, I would go grab it, but yeah, it was the damnedest thing. I mean, this was 1958, and they were talking about making a national conference with half the Pac-10, with all the armed services schools, because nothing says conference rivalry like Army-USC. All right, so the reason you just got the lovely Monty Python intermission music again was because I just lost my Mediacom connection for the last hour, so of course got cut off in the middle of what I'm sure was the greatest couple minutes of podcasting of all time that none of us will ever get to hear.
Second greatest compared to the last lost
that's,
podcast.
That's right. Yeah, the last two times we've tried to do a podcast by Skype, Mediacom has cut us off, and I smell conspiracy.
I feel like Mediacom is trying to get me over to Casa de Bill C.
I'm telling you, yeah. Which we will have to have you over here for, you know, I don't know, steak or something again before you duck out of town.
That's probably way more behind the curtain than anybody cared to know.
Oh, while I was thinking of it. All right, so all momentum gone. What we were talking about was the Pac-14, you know, and the weirdness that was the 1959 expansion. Oh, right. And then my other weird example of expansion that almost happened was, you know, it's not my example, but it's, you know, the thought of the late 80s, early 90s, where the Metro Conference almost became a football conference with everybody from Miami to Memphis. And, you know, Florida State and Miami almost joined the SEC, but didn't. Texas, like all those things. You know, decisions behind the scenes. It's just funny how, you know, this will change the next 20 years of our school's college football scheduling and everything else. And, you know, that's, I guess, really all I had. I mean,
no pressure either. I mean, you want to ask Houston what not, you know, aligning yourself perfectly during realignment means?
Well, and I mean, you know, and we'll get back to our scenarios here. But right now we're looking at a situation where within the realignment, the way it might go down, teams like Iowa State or Baylor or Texas Tech, we're lucky enough to be in a state, or, you know, with two pretty good sized TV markets, and we've had recent success. And
no one we have to drag along either.
Right. Yeah, we don't have any dead weight. So we are in a good position to move if offered. But then there are other schools who are really... who have been as or more successful than us. I mean, K-State has a Big 12 conference football title. We don't. And, you know, they really aren't in anybody's plans right now. And who knows what will happen. But they might get taken down a notch as far as, you know, the conference they're in and their opportunities they have, and not of their fault at all.
Yeah.
And, sucks to be those who aren't included, I guess.
Yeah, I appreciate the bargaining power, and that's the moral of the story.
And I hope, like I said, we are lumped in with those schools if the Big Ten doesn't take us, because, the SEC is not going to. there are portions of the state that definitely consider itself more along the lines of Arkansas and Tennessee than Illinois or Iowa or Kansas, but regardless, we are not going to be in the SEC in our lifetime. So the Big Ten's our chance out, our ticket back to to remain in the Big Time or whatever we want to call it here. All right. It's been like an hour and a half since we actually talked about this now, even though it's been like 5 minutes podcast time. We decided, we agreed that the Pac would only go to Pac 14, and we went with Miami, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Clemson in the SEC. As somebody is, Skyping me now.
Yeah, that wasn't even me. What the hell is that about?
That was MC Boom of Doom.
Invite him at the end of the podcast, but regardless, we got to hammer this out.
Yeah. Hold on. Yes. Do you want in 10 minutes? Okay. Oh, man. Absolutely, he says. So you've got that to look forward to. There's your tease as this podcast just completely falls apart. So now you've got a 16-team Big Ten. He wants intro music. A 16-team Big Ten, a 14-team Pac-10-14, and a 16-team SEC.
Sorry, I just saw the photo for Boom. All right, SEC, what?
16 teams in the SEC. So now we have Army, Navy, and Notre Dame as independents. We've got the entire Conference USA, Mid-American, Sun Belt, and WAC. We've got 7 remaining Mountain West teams. We've got 8 remaining ACC teams and 8 remaining Big 12 teams and 5 remaining Big East teams. What the hell happens now? It's pretty easy, I guess. You could just say the ACC goes to 12 by combining with the Big East, and then picking up 4 more, like East Carolina, Central Florida, whatever. And maybe that is what happens. If they get enough,
they pick off part of the Big 12.
Right. You could go with the Eastern teams in the Big 12, there really aren't any left. Iowa State, Kansas State, or even OU or OSU. You could go. I got to figure that, they are, the Conference USA is to the ACC what the Mountain West is to the Pac-10. It's, you lose members and you promote. But the weird thing about the ACC Big East thing is they still have Marquette and Georgetown and St. John's and Seton Hall and Providence and a bunch of teams that don't have FCS level football teams, if they have football teams at all. And what the hell happens there? Do they just merge and stop at 12, and then they have 16 still for basketball?
And it's funny because, we can make all these not informed judgments, but at least semi-informed judgments whenever it comes to, the Pac-10, the Big Ten. Everything that happens after that is a total 100% crapshoot.
Right, and that's when we see these, like I said earlier, a long time ago for us, when we see these perfect pictures of all these 24-team conferences or 16-team conferences, that's great, but it's just not the way things will happen in the order that it will happen. And so right now, we can go ahead and just draw it up and say, the ACC adds Cincinnati, Connecticut, Louisville, South Florida, West Virginia, and then adds, say, Central Florida, East Carolina, and Memphis?
There's no answer here. Once you get past the 3 quote unquote super conferences that are being made, just start rolling the dice, start picking teams out of a hat.
And that's where the real weirdness is going to happen. The Big Ten, Pac-10, and SEC kind of have it good right now.
But then, throw names in a hat. NCAA football conference lottery.
So I'm going to, just so I can draw this out here. We got East Carolina. We've got UCF because they are a freaking gigantic school who is only now discovering athletics.
And a new stadium.
There you go. And that's 15 schools. You're not going to have a conference with 15. So I'm going to just randomly say Houston.
Wow, way to shaft Temple there, jerk.
All right, yeah, actually, we'll go with, I like Temple. I like Bill Cosby. I like, well.
By the way, this is exactly how conference commissioners are going to decide from here on out.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, how do you make that decision at that point? There are 13 schools exactly the same. All right, so there's your 16-team crap ACC, which, by the way, would be an awesome basketball conference. Because now you've got Cincinnati, Connecticut, Duke, Louisville, Maryland, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Temple, Wake Forest, West Virginia, and then, if you want to keep right on going, Georgetown, Villanova, Providence, etc. I mean, that's a, you know, you could have a 2014 basketball conference that way. That would be the best in the world, whatever.
Yeah, let's have fun with that being 6% of your conference revenue. I mean, it's awesome, don't get me wrong, but take it for what it is.
So, as we both communicate with Boom over Skype while we continue, then the one other option then at that point, I mean, because really, who cares about the Mid-American? I mean, the Sun Belt, I think it would be lovely to have, you know, Troy, Louisiana, Lafayette, Louisiana, Monroe, and then like Louisiana Tech with an actual geographic rival instead of Idaho. You know, we can talk about that, but nobody cares.
Yeah.
But the only other step in this process is the Big 12, or what was the Big 12, and is now the semi-Big 8. With Baylor, Colorado, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech, you could bring in Memphis. I think they would. Well, TCU.
Yeah.
And there's a decent 10-team conference. Then you bring in, say, I mean, if you're raiding the Mountain West, you go Air Force, Colorado State, New Mexico.
Yeah. Air Force especially. I mean, not really a big money driver, but I mean, I guess you can't argue, I don't want to say about how solid, but I mean, at least serviceable. Is that
there you go.
Too much of a pun?
And then you've got three spots remaining. Let's say Houston.
Yeah.
SMU?
Maybe.
SMU, Tulsa, UTEP, a suddenly desperate Notre Dame.
We can ask Boom of Doom about that.
There you go.
What are we doing with the WAC? Are we just leaving it?
Well, I figure the WAC will then merge with the remaining Mountain West teams. Whoever doesn't get, doesn't end up elsewhere like San Diego State, UNLV, Wyoming. And then, the Conference USA. Well, really, you'll have a mess of Texas schools in the Conference USA, along with like Tulane and Tulsa, which could end up in the new Big 12 16. And then you've got, decent Sun Belt programs like Troy and Middle Tennessee. And Florida Atlantic, I'm sure, is reasonably attractive because they're pretty big.
Schnellenberger.
And they've got Schnellenberger. But yeah, I mean, after that, it's just a big mess. I do like the thought of a bunch more Texas schools kind of merging back together, having Baylor.
Taylor's going to have to write this out. I've since gotten lost in like the hour that we were off.
You weren't maintaining a spreadsheet the same time I was?
Only if that's a euphemism.
for drinking rum and coke.
Yeah, we'll keep that off the record.
Oh, sorry.
No biggie.
So, yeah, we'll throw in, I will have to draw this out. We'll throw in SMU. We'll throw in,
Tony up.
And Tulsa. So there's your new Big 12. Baylor, Colorado, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Memphis, TCU, Air Force, Colorado State, New Mexico, Houston, SMU, Tulsa.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, good. Have fun. And, add Missouri to that mix if we get passed up for the Big Ten. And then who cares after that? So let's, as the dog digs on the rug, that is not a euphemism for anything.
Well, that's conference expansion talk.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it was as enjoyable for you as it was for us. And now, to introduce... to introduce our guest with his requested special music, and I will not disagree with a little Talib Kweli on here, so especially since we had, of course, Mos Def on our last podcast, or two podcasts ago, or whenever the hell that was.
It was the last podcast, but it also got bumped from the Great Lost Podcast.
It is in the ether, that's correct. Okay, so here is your intro music for The Boom of Doom. Welcome. Say hello, Boom.
All right, how you guys doing? This is MC Boom of Doom. You guys can call me Spanky. I was in the middle of writing a paper when I saw that Bill and Ross were online, so I asked if I could join, and they graciously have allowed me to join, which is a huge mistake.
I think that paper is actually what your eBay auction is not doing right now.
Yeah, we're in the same class. I actually called him earlier, and he did not pick up. So, not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool whatsoever.
There's that whole dynamic going. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm at a loss. I'm done with this day. But you guys, I'm glad to end it in this completely jumbled fashion.
So no, let's go to the MC Boom of Doom minute. MC Boom of Doom, you have 60 seconds. Go.
Just 60 seconds? I thought I had more.
Well, now you're down to 55.
So All right. So, let's talk about the recent results in the Rock-M Guide to Columbia.
Touché, sir.
I'm a little disappointed that the nation didn't support my pick, my horse in the latest race, Barton's, which I think is significantly better than Buckingham's or Bandana's. I can't speak to Lonnie Ray's. Smoking Chicks is good. I think Smoking Chicks is better than Buckingham. But I'm surprised that Barton's didn't get any more votes.
I think the message to take away from that is simply that nobody knows Barton's exists. Pretty clear we need a Rock-M Nation field trip at some point.
And by the way, we need to give a shout out to the guy who runs Show Me Eats, who has been following this and tweeting about this.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he has been giving us a little bit of grief, and rightfully so, probably. But what can you say? We let the people speak, I guess, even if we may not necessarily agree with the people.
And then we sneak in our own opinions on the page, too.
See, it's a funny thing that happens whenever you have access to the website. Abuse of power? Maybe.
Well,
yeah,
we
just
said
a little bit.
People's choice, editor's choice. I think it was very, we gave them the first say, and then we came in and said what was really the best. for
yeah.
each
All right. All right.
At the risk of editorializing.
Yeah, correct. Well, we are editors.
Yeah.
All right, so Boom, I do have one question. We just walked through our own conference expansion scenario, and a suddenly desperate Notre Dame team got put in the refangled Big 12 / Big 16 with such powers as Air Force, New Mexico, TCU, SMU, and Tulsa.
Wow, I've really missed a lot. I really have missed a lot.
It's a done deal, actually. That's what I hear from sources telling ESPN. It's as good as done. So,
okay,
yeah, done deal. Quotes.
So, you know, Tulsa's a private school. TCU's a private school. SMU's a private school. You have natural rivals there. To be honest.
Sure. Sure. I disagree, but okay.
So that's actually how we spent a good 30 minutes of our podcasting over a 2-hour period because MediaCom hates me and hates our podcasts.
Mm.
So
okay, well, all right. So that's how you ended up with all of your jumbling around with the conferences.
We'll list these out on there later, and we didn't seriously have Notre Dame in there. We retained their hard earned independence.
Okay,
because
all right.
They are more special than everybody else.
It's not, but that's, well, okay, a little bit of that is, a little bit. I mean, it's not like, it's not my fault that NBC threw that big contract at him. I mean, I was young when it happened. I was young, I was a child. So I had nothing to do with it.
But I only have like 3 people I know who are Notre Dame fans. I really, really have to take advantage of whenever I get the chance to chat with them.
I guess
you become fully responsible.
So. Yeah, yeah, I know. My dad is actually going to see the new Brian Kelly talk tomorrow at the Rockne dinner. So I'm gonna get a full update. I'm gonna get a full update probably either tomorrow late or early Saturday about what he thinks Brian Kelly's capable of.
Well, the next time you see us online and we're podcasting, you can tell us what your dad does think of.
I'll give you the full breakdown because I know when Weiss first came, when Weiss first did it, it was a big deal. And the one thing my dad came away was just, he's no Lou Holtz. And I was like, yeah, well, no, of course he's not Lou Holtz. He's like seven Lou Holtzes. So
and he's taller than 4 feet tall. So
yeah. So there's
too
no
much
way.
Notre Dame talk.
All right, fine. Let's get back to Missouri.
know your constituency.
Yeah, yeah.
So
how
about those Cardinals, huh?
Yeah, how about those Cardinals? I saw them get the win today. I was watching that game.
Ooh.
Without Pujols or the guy who plays shortstop.
They better get used to winning without Pujols. Zing.
Hey now.
That's all I got. I think he probably the Cardinals will quite possibly keep him, but that's an entirely other podcast. They're going to kill themselves paying for it. But
so, are we now in the 4 minutes of the MC Boom of Doom minute?
4 minutes.
Outro music. Yeah, that just happened.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little embarrassed by that, but true story, I used to sing that all the time freshman year.
To
and,
who? Who
I,
are you singing
I,
that to?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not gonna do it now. I'm not gonna do it now.
I feel like we should mercifully end this before we lose half of our leadership to euthanasia.
So from 4-2.
Yeah,
basically. Although we must give credit to the hits today.
Oh, God, yes, they're still coming in. Must give credit to the variety on the site that ends today with a picture of Gary Pinkel in what kind of gear is he wearing on our front page right now?
Paintball.
Yeah,
is that paintball? Oh, yeah, okay. I just saw the mask. I was trying to figure out what the mask was. Well, there you go. He and a word from the Beef, who is at Jimmy Buffett right now in St. Louis. Lest you be jealous of him, the message was... The first time I went to a Buffett concert 2 years ago, it was decent enough, but kill me now. So there you go.
Oh, that's too bad.
What does Baby Beef think?
That's right. He asked me today if somebody had created the fake Baby Beef Twitter account yet. I told him one call. It would just take me one call, and it would be good as done.
I'm not doing it.
No. So
I like GST, like,
he would do it, but it would end after 3 tweets.
That's right. Boom. And not boom, you boom, but, you know, boom, roasted boom.
Right, got it.
So we're at 53 minutes.
Are you serious?
Oh, we talked a long time before.
We've only been
around
for like six.
Oh, God, I'm definitely, like, letting it load up and then fast forwarding to my bit.
I'm taking away the fast forward button. You have to listen to the whole thing to get to your bit.
No, I'm just going to let it load and I'll just click on where I come in.
No, not allowed.
Like a QuickTime bar. Yeah, I think everyone else should do that.
Yeah, you're telling people at the end of the podcast what they should do to listen to the podcast.
See, that's a good point.
That's meta, I think, is what that is.
Well, all right. Yeah, fine.
Well, Bill, do you want to introduce the outro music?
Because it was such a very, very good day. That's really all the intro I need to do, right? I mean,
Ice Cube. Please be Ice Cube.
Boom!
Yes!
For the win.
Dude, that's right. A great song.
Boom from boom.
That's a great song.
And so ends one of the weirdest freaking days in the history of Rock M Nation.
And probably the weirdest podcast.
Just think to yourself the music sampling that we've done in this podcast. And yes.
So until next time?
I probably won't be here next, if there is a next time.
Yeah, you say that now. But what if
that's
you have
pretty morbid.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, when you guys, you know what, I'll just keep it morbid. Yeah, I probably won't be around when you do it next time.
God bless you, Boom.
Yeah, thank you.
And this one's for you, Boom. Ice Cube. Ice Cube, take it away and go tight.
waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. Hooked it up for later as I hit the dough. Thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light. Looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is alright. I got a beat from Kim, and she can fuck all.